This story you are about to hear happened last night. "Come on, buddy. We need to get out of here," I yelled to my golden retriever, Max, as we bolted out of the burning house. The scorching heat and thick, choking smoke trailed us like a malevolent shadow as we sprinted across the lawn.
"What about the others?"
my neighbor, Mrs. Rogers, croaked out, her eyes wide with fear. She clutched her phone to her ear, the screen a lifeline to the outside world that was rapidly closing in on us. "I called 911. They're on their way," I assured her. My voice was hoarse. "But we can't wait around. We gotta get to higher ground." The three of us stumbled away from the inferno that had engulfed our street. The air was a blend of ash and desperation, a stark contrast to the usually serene neighborhood. The crackling of flames and the popping of windows shattering were the only sounds that pierced the otherwise eerie silence. As we climbed the desert hill behind my property, the fire's fiery blaze grew more distant, yet the intensity of the heat remained a constant, unwelcome companion. My heart stung with each blink, and my lungs felt as if they were lined with hot coals. The desert night was an unnervingly silent witness to our plight, offering no comfort amidst the chaos. The crunch of gravel underfoot grew softer as we reached the hilltop, and my heart hammered against my ribs as I scanned the horizon for any signs of the emergency services. The lights of the fire trucks and sirens seemed like a mirage, a flickering promise of salvation that remained maddeningly out of reach. Mrs. Rogers' coughs grew more ragged, and Max whined anxiously beside us. We had to keep moving. We had to find help. But as my eyes scanned the vast, dark expanse before us, I realized with a sinking feeling that I had no idea where we were going. The desert was a labyrinth of shadows, and the fiery maelstrom had swallowed the familiar landmarks I had once known. I took a deep, painful breath, the air scorching my throat. "Keep calling," I told Mrs. Rogers, my voice strained. "I'm going to get a little further and try to get a better signal." With that, I broke into a run, the wind carrying my desperate shouts for help into the abyss of the night.
"John! John!"
Mrs. Rogers screamed after me, her face barely audible over the roar of the fires. But I didn't stop. The sirens grew louder in my ears, and I was sure I could see the glow of their lights just over the next hill. As I crested the rise, the voices grew clearer, no longer lost in the wind. But they weren't the comforting tones of the rescue workers I had hoped for. They were eerie whispers, a symphony of malicious intent that sent a cold shiver down my spine. In the distance, I caught the flicker of yellow eyes glowing like embers in the darkness. My heart skipped a beat as a tall, lanky figure emerged from the shadows. Its silhouette, a grotesque twist of human-like features. The creature's arms were elongated, ending in clawed hands that flexed and reached for me. I stumbled back, my feet slipping on loose gravel as I tried to make sense of the horror before my eyes. It charged, a feral snarl tearing from its lipless mouth. The eyes grew brighter, the yellow orbs pulsing with a malevolent energy that seemed to suck the very light from the night. I had no time to think, only to react. I turned and sprinted back down the hill, adrenaline pumping through my veins like liquid fire. Max and Mrs. Rogers were lost in the darkness behind me, but I couldn't go back. I had to lead this thing away from them. The creature's footsteps echoed like thunder in the quiet desert, each step closing the distance between us. The heat from the fire was forgotten, replaced by a new terror that seared through my soul. I dodged rocks and cacti, my eyes searching for any sign of shelter. But the landscape was unforgiving, offering only more the endless blackness that surrounded us. The creature was gaining on me, its claws swiping at the air mere inches from my back. I could hear its ragged breaths, hot and putrid, foul as the very fires that had driven us from our homes. My lungs burned, and my legs felt like lead, but I didn't dare look back. I knew that if I did, I'd see those eyes, those claws, and the grim promise of death they held. In a moment of desperation, I leaped into a dry ravine, the drop steep and unforgiving. The creature howled in frustration as I disappeared from its view, the echo bouncing off the canyon walls. Landing hard on the stony ground below, I rolled and tumbled, feeling every jagged edge bite into my skin. But I didn't stop. I had to keep moving. I had to get away from that monstrous thing. The ravine grew narrower as I sprinted through it, the walls closing in like the jaws of a predator. The creature's howls grew fainter, but I knew it was still out there, hunting. I couldn't let it find me. I couldn't let it find Max or Mrs. Rogers. I had to keep running, had to survive this hellish night. The wind picked up, carrying with it the distant wail of sirens and the promise of salvation. But I knew that if I was to reach it, I would have to face the creature again. And this time, I wasn't so sure I'd be so lucky. As I stumbled through the ravine, the sound of crackling fire grew faint, replaced by the gentle rustle of the desert foliage. The air grew colder, and my hope grew stronger. Maybe, just maybe, I had outrun it. Then, out of the corner of my eye, I saw movement. A flash of light, a glint of metal. I skidded to a halt, my heart racing as I peered through the gloom. A group of figures emerged from the shadows, their forms silhouetted against the flickering embers of the firelit sky. As they approached, I made out the unmistakable forms of humans huddled together, their eyes wide with fear, but their steps determined. A young woman in the group spotted me and called out,
"Hey, are you okay?"
Her voice was like a cool drink of water in the scorching desert. I stumbled towards them, gasping for breath.
There's something out here with us.
The group's leader, a man with a firm jaw and a look of hardened resolve, stepped forward.
"We've seen it," he said grimly. "We've lost two already."
We shared a heavy silence. Each loss in their own thoughts of loved ones left behind. But in their eyes, I saw something else. A spark of hope, a plan forming.
"We're gonna lure it away from the main road," he continued. "Create a distraction and sneak past it. It's the only way we could reach the excavation point."
Their plan was risky, but it was a plan. And in that moment, a plan was worth more than any treasure. I nodded, my voice hoarse from the smoke.
"I'm with you."
Together, we forged ahead, a ragtag band of survivors united by desperation and the will to live. As we climbed out of the ravine, the creature's howls grew closer, a chilling reminder of the danger that stalked us. The group huddled together, whispering strategies and handing out makeshift weapons, sticks and rocks, anything that we could find. They had a map, a flickering phone screen with the GPS dot blinking in the distance, the beacon of our escape. We approached the creature's lair, the air thick with the stench of burnt flesh and fear. The man with the plan gave me a nod and we split up. My heart hammered in my chest as I sprinted away from the creature, shouting and throwing rocks to draw its attention. The beast's yellow eyes swiveled towards me, and I could see its twisted grin, hungry for the chase. As it took the bait, the others moved swiftly, creating a wall of noise and light, driving it away from our intended path. The creature's howls grew more distant, and for a brief moment, I allowed myself to believe that we had a chance. We sprinted through the blazing desert, the flaming horizon a constant reminder of the inferno we had left behind. The sirens grew louder, the lights of the evacuation area shimmering like a mirage in the heat haze. But the creature wasn't so easily fooled. It reappeared on the horizon, a terrifying silhouette against the fire-lit sky. Our group tightened our grip on our weapons, preparing to face it once more. The leader shouted orders, and we fanned out, ready to fight or flee, whichever was necessary for survival. The creature's eyes locked onto me, and for a second, I thought it was over. Then, from the corner of my eye, I saw movement. Max, his fur singed but his spirit unbroken, had found us. He barreled towards me, barking fiercely. The creature paused, confused by the sudden onslaught of sound and the new threat. It was the opening we needed. With a collective roar, we surged forward, driving the beast back into the flaming abyss from which it had come. Exhausted and terrified, we staggered onto the main road, the cool asphalt a stark contrast to the hellish landscape we had just escaped. The sirens grew deafening, the lights of the rescue vehicles blinding. As the firefighters' sirens grew closer, the creature's yellow eyes flickered with confusion, and then, as if pulled by some invisible force, it turned away from the group, its attention now fully on the wailing sounds. It let out a guttural roar and began the charge towards the lights that bobbled and danced in the distance. Seizing the opportunity, us survivors sprinted along the road, our hearts pounding in our chests. We could feel the heat of the creature's breath on our backs, but the sirens grew louder, the red and blue lights grew brighter, and hope blossomed within us like a desert flower after a rare rain. With a burst of energy born from desperation, we broke into a full run, our feet pounding on the pavement. The creature's footsteps grew fainter as it pursued the sirens, drawn by some primal instinct to the promise of chaos and destruction that they represented to it. Then, a young woman named Linda pointed to the break in the fence up ahead.
"Through there!"
she shouted, her voice strong and clear.
"It's the evacuation point!"
We didn't need to be told twice. With renewed vigor, we scrambled through the fence, tearing our clothing and skin on the sharp metal, and emerged into the relative safety of the staging area. The air was thick with the smell of burning rubber and gasoline, but it was the sweetest scent we had ever known. The firefighters and police officers rushed towards us, their faces a mix of shock and relief. We collapsed to the ground, gasping for breath and clutching each other tightly. Max whined and licked at my face, his tail wagging in joyous circles. One of the officers, a blurry man with a thick mustache, looked over the ragtag assembly with a mix of disbelief and concern.
"What the hell was that?"
he asked, his voice gruff.
"Some kind of creature," I choked out, still struggling to catch my breath. "It's been stalking us, attacking survivors of the fire."
He nodded, not questioning my story.
"Stay put,"
he ordered, his eyes scanning the horizon for any sign of the creature. As the first aid was administered, the survivors shared our terrifying tales of the night. Each one more harrowing than the last. Each one a testament to the indomitable human spirit. The creature had been a nightmare, but it had also brought us together. Strangers and neighbors had become companions. Neighbors had become protectors. And a golden retriever had proven to be the bravest of them all. The fire raged on, a fiery beast that had claimed already so much. But amidst the destruction, there was a spark of hope. That we had made it. We had survived the fires, the heat, and the creature that had haunted our escape. As we boarded the bus that would take us to safety and to the hospital, our eyes met, and we all knew silently that we would never forget the night that we had faced the flames together. We were survivors of the Los Angeles fires, and we all had each other's backs. The creature may have been a part of the story, but it would never define us. The bus rumbled to life. And as it drove away from the blazing horizon, the creature's howls grew fainter, lost in the cacophony of the fire's relentless appetite. We had outsmarted it, outran it, and outlived it. But in the quiet of the night, as we held each other and whispered words of comfort, we couldn't help but wonder what other horrors this new world had in store for us.